Kate, good morning. Welcome back. Thank you for the update.
Hi, Rick. Of course.
All right. So you have now been basically in hiding, seeking refuge on the outskirts of Kiev now for about 5 days. Is that right?
Right. Correct.
So tell me a little bit about your escape from the city and then what's been going on while you've been kind of shacked up in your safer place there.
Right. So before escaping, as you know, I've been living alone for some time. I was hiding in my bathroom for about 10 hours because we had like constant explosions, warnings that we're going to be bombed from the air. So that's what's been happening for a certain amount of time. And I was basically scared to leave my apartment. And I was living with a friend of mine. It was actually my dad's friend, and he helped me to leave. We were just, you know, like on races, I would say. It was extremely, I was just like terrified with the entire situations because we had sirens going on. The city was empty, and I saw a lot of BTRs. These are like Russian, not like tanks, but it's like trucks, military trucks.
Right.
And also soldiers with marked with the different letters. Letters, they mean the region from where they come from. There were several from Crimea and other from Belarus. So that's what I saw. I left really fast, and we tried to get me some medicine from pharmacies, but they were closed. Like, we visited about of like 7 pharmacies. They were all closed.
Right.
People were panicking on the streets. A lot of people were in shelters, and we just tried to hide and be really careful. Currently, I'm in maybe 20 kilometers from the place I live in Kiev, so it's like suburbs. It's not really that far, but we still belong to the city, but we're not like in the center of it.
Right. Right. So yeah. It's more houses spread out rather than apartment blocks.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, I would say we're near the river. We have a lot of fields. We have a lot of like spare territory. So, I have our tanks here. We have some military guys here as well. They protect us from murderers and from robbers. These are groups that started to appear lately, especially in the night, because they come from Belarus part and also from other cities that were conquered by Russia.
So looters are coming down from Belarus to rob things in Kiev.
Yeah, to rob things and basically to destroy the government itself. They're coming to the part where not the part of the district where all the government buildings are located, so that they could kill Zelensky and his family, and simply to destroy the government of Ukraine. And as Putin said, like, to remove Nazi from Ukraine.
Yep. So as usual, there's a lot. And now that the alternative news networks are so well established, from 2 years of vloggers, bloggers, and YouTubers, and podcasters, and videocast, you know, there's a lot of versions of what's going on coming around. And one of them is that Russia is liberating people from Ukrainian totalitarian control in the districts like Crimea. Is that a rumor that you've heard?
Yes, yes. That's what like Russian people were convinced about. So, but it's a lie. They kill in civilians. We have 16 children killed. Like, were they saved or something? No, they were killed.
Right.
They're bombing children hospitals. Like, it's horrible. I see, I have plenty of videos. I have plenty of photos, and I know these places. Like, that is not fake, because my friends who are still in Kiev, they keep sending me those videos, so
right.
That's horrible. I mean...
Okay.
Yeah.
So, the point here is that if it is true that Russia is supposed to be liberating the Ukrainians from the totalitarian control of Zelensky's government. While they're doing it, they're bombing children's hospitals, which would not make it liberation. That would not qualify as being liberated. It would qualify as killing children's hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How what are your days like? What are you doing? And
I can't even say that I have like a normal day. I just I sleep when I have a chance, but most of the time I just sit and check news. I'm trying to, you know, eat something because of the stress, you cannot live a normal life. I cannot even distract myself somehow. I cannot like watch something, like watch some kind of movies or listen to music. Everything feels so surreal. I don't even know how to explain this. Like, it's just like a nightmare. You keep sitting here and just trying to convince yourself that it's going to be fine. You're at least in a safe place. But when you hear like bombs or, you know, troops flying, you cannot think normally.
I'm sure. It doesn't seem so safe.
Yes.
Right. And what is going on in... I'll come back to where you're at, like the conditions where you're at and who you're with and how people are doing. But please tell me what's going on in Zaporozhye, the town where you grew up. That's about 800 kilometers south.
Yes.
Down the river. And what's up there?
Well, in Zaporozhye, the situation is getting worse. Several cities near it and just next to it got conquered eventually by Russian people. I have some like, I have news from there about like every 2 hours approximately. So they keep telling that there are a lot of murders, people destroy supermarkets, they destroy houses. It's just, you know, pure anarchy, as I would say. And in Zaporozhye, we have tanks from Crimea as well, because Crimea is pretty close from Zaporozhye. It's even closer than I'm to Zaporozhye. So, right. Zaporozhye was bombed this night as well. About 5 explosions in the airport that is pretty close from where my mom and my family is hiding. They're spending their night in basement most of the time. They also have left the apartment. They live in our friend's house, like in some kind of suburbs as well. But it's not that safe there, like at all.
And they're there, your parents are there with your mom's parents, correct?
Yes, and with some of our siblings who are from Turkey. They wanted to escape to Turkey, but we cannot because it's impossible. We have, you know, the highways are destroyed, they're bombed. So it's impossible for instance, for me, it's impossible to travel from Kiev to Zaporozhye, only by train, that there is no other way.
Right. So, again, debunking the theme that the Russians are liberating the Ukrainians from something, it wouldn't be bombing the highways as part of that liberation effort. Someone is bombing the highways. And you see... go ahead, please.
The bombing highways, as far as I know, is just done for in order to destroy the logistics so that we cannot get food or water, you know, and also military stuff.
Right. To destroy the infrastructure. Yeah. So go ahead.
People, as I know, people are, you know, they're evacuated in such a weird way. They just driving through fields.
Right.
That's what they do. Because it's just nuts what is going on here. So
right, that'll only get you so far driving through the field. Sooner or later, you're going to get stuck.
Yes, but some of my friends, they eventually got to Zaporozhye and now they're safe. But I'm surprised if they even like.
Oh, they did.
They did
from Kiev to Zaporozhye, driving off road.
Yes, and I was like, no way, you're not going to this, but they did, and you know, also war is. I realized that war helped me to understand who's ready, like to help me and to risk it all, like why people and who love me, and because those people, I thought that they were my friends, but they left me with a fever in the center of Kiev when it was bombing, so. I have, you know, I'm no longer in communication with those guys, but it's just helped me to realize who's ready to help me. and who's just going to run like mouses from the ship that is like going down,
Yeah.
drowning.
Right. Rats from a sinking ship. And so fellow film students left you.
No. These are were just some old friends of mine from Zaporozhye, like the ones who are my high school friends.
Who, but they were in Kiev.
Yes, they were in Kiev. They were studying for like bachelor's.
Right, I see. Okay, so do you know the damage assessment in Zaporozhye? That's an important city because it's a big industrial town in the southeast, 100 miles away from the front in Crimea.
Yeah.
What do you know about what's happened?
Well, I do have some photos, but as far as I know, the civilians were not like destroyed that way. They were getting destroyed in Kiev, but we know that the dam was mined several times, but they still haven't exploded that. We also have threats towards our new bridge that has been in building process for 20 years. It's
Right. I've seen both of these things, this huge dam and then this partly completed bridge. So that was bombed also.
No, just mined and several threats, but we're protecting that, you know,
Right.
because these are like one of the most important stuff that we have in Zaporozhye.
I'm not understanding how these landmines get placed. Who do you think is
Me neither.
doing it?
I don't know. I don't know. We also have a lot of people who betrayed us because here for Ukrainians, we're getting paid a lot if we're going to help Russians somehow. If we're going to mark, you know, highways or some kind of buildings, like to help Russian diversants to understand where they are, simply. So, you know, it's a good way to make money for people who don't care about politics at all.
You're saying that the Russian government is paying Ukrainian people to do things against the Ukrainian people, like mark
Yes.
highways in Russian,
Yes.
to complete the conversion of Ukraine into part of Russia?
Yes.
Right. Now, I have heard from an on-the-ground reporter in the Crimea area, I guess, that that men are being recruited by the Russians, and that there really is a separatist force of people who are loyal to Russia fighting on the Russian side, but they carry Ukrainian passports. Have you heard this?
Yeah.
Right. So the obvious concern there is if Ukrainians are being recruited onto both sides, that by definition would be a civil war.
Exactly. I don't have like the confirmation of this, but I did hear this one as well from
Right.
other people.
I have the video that I can send you. A lot of it's in Russian, with some translation, but it'll give you an idea what the guys on the ground are saying. And some of them are 65 years old, going in to fight. It almost looks like a Veterans Day celebration, where they should be, riding in a fake tank with their old helmet on, but they're actually joining the militia now.
Right.
That's the thing of everything that I've heard, besides bombs falling anywhere near you, is that the splitting the population to Russian loyalists and Ukrainian loyalists is not a good sign.
I agree here. But what I can say is that people in Ukraine, they got, I would say stronger, much stronger. And what I can say is that I started to appreciate my nation, really. Before, I didn't feel that way. I mean, I was like, yes, I live in Ukraine. I appreciate the culture and all of that. But I wasn't like patriotic enough. I don't know if there's like such word in English, but
Sure.
I wasn't that supportive, but now I just hate the way Russia tries to destroy us. And I was like, no, like if I need to, I'm going to take the like the gun. I'm going to protect my country, really,
Right.
because what they're doing is horrible, and we're not going to give away our territories just like we did with Crimea. What we did with Crimea was a mistake, was a terrible mistake, and now Putin thought that now. He's going to repeat that scenario, that plot. They're going to conquer at least the south part of Ukraine, but he was mistaken.
Right. Yep. Well, you're doing your part as a war correspondent. I'll tell you, there'll be lots of combatants willing to go and fight, and far fewer correspondents willing to tell the rest of the world what's going on.
Right.
So inadvertently, we were never planning this. We never had a meeting in 2021 and said, why don't we open up a Battlefront War Bureau? It would never have occurred to either of us this could happen. I mean, I guess if we thought it through, the situation brewing in Crimea all these years always seemed fairly stable.
Yes, because people were satisfied with everything they had. They just got used to it, you know. They no longer want to come back to Ukraine. It's just Ukrainians who are mad that Crimea is no longer ours. That's it. So.
Right, but the Crimeans, I'm sure the opinion was split, but did most of them feel like they wanted to be part of Russia?
Most of them, yes. It's like, I would say they probably felt just like I did. I felt pretty neutral about Russia or Ukraine. I was like, I don't really care. But now, like, I care where I live, under which flag, which language I speak. So it means, like, a lot to me at the moment. And I think that's what happened to Crimea people. Some of them want to be Ukrainian again because the economics of Crimea is dead, really. It's just going down.
Right.
And it's no longer developing as, as independent island. It used to be like a great territory, like for people to spend holiday to live in. But now it's just, destroyed economics. They have different currency. They have a lot of issues. And I don't think that people are really genuinely happy there.
Right. Is that a Russian-speaking region primarily or Ukrainian-speaking region prior to all of this? Was one of the Russian-speaking regions?
Yes, Russian-speaking. And we need to remember that it's also like, I don't remember this nation. It's like Tatarian people. So it's not even Ukrainians or Russians. These are like different people.
Right. A little different tribe or ethnicity
yes,
or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, different tribe. They also wanted to be independent from both Ukraine and Russia, but eventually they joined to Russia. So
right. I mean, what a lot of people don't understand is that these modern designations of countries now are essentially lines drawn around large regions where there's many different things going on, many different cultures going right. on. You drive around Spain, you can see this. Drive around Germany, you can see this. To some extent, lesser in France, you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as if it's like, oh, even New York State. So it's complicated. There's many different loyalties and many different concepts of what Ukraine is, what their country is.
Right.
That'd be my observation. So what is the word on how long this is going to last?
Oh, we have guesses. Well, we thought that it's going to like to end on Monday. Nothing. We still have all the situation, but I know that there was like the Zelensky went to communicate with Lukashenko and with Putin in Belarus, as far as I know. But the result of this conversation, like, zero.
Oh, they went and had diplomatic talks in Belarus?
Yeah.
Well, New York Times is saying, as talks begin, fighting rages on.
And Putin still keeps alerting on nuclear power and all of that. So I don't think we're just going to end in good conditions this way. but you know what? They're running low on soldiers. We have killed about 4,000 Russian soldiers. 4,000. It's more than they lost in a 3-year-old war with with Syria, I think it was
right.
With Syria. Yes, in a week, that's okay. Like that's terrible for their army, and they have lost a lot of money, obviously. And the economics is going down. I have checked the course regarding ruble and dollar. Ruble is just at the bottom, literally.
Right. No, this is not popular, and there's very few people siding with Putin, and a lot excuse me, a lot of discussion that he's just another pawn of the World Economic Forum, which has been running things for the last 2 years worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any understanding of that? Any people have that theory or accept that idea?
I'm not really sure, but I think that they are, because I'm not communicating a lot about politics, so that I cannot like confirm some information. Yeah.
Right. Got it. Okay. Anything else you want to add? Any thoughts? Anything you want to say to people listening in the West?
Well, I think I would like to say thank you to everyone who's supporting Ukrainians, because it's really impressive. We're extremely grateful to people all over the world, like in US and Europe. We see the support, and it makes the situation a little bit easier for us to admit it. So
right.
We're really grateful, because we're scared, but we're going to be fine. And thank you for not like believing into this hilarious circus that Putin started.
Right.
Because it's not true. The truth is what you see mostly on the media, but of course you have to double check all the information. And this is why I'm here, to express everything. So.
Right. Okay. Well, please keep paying attention for us, and I'll do my best to keep you busy with work for Planet Waves. Kate, by the way, edits our video. That's probably not happening anytime soon, unless we post Zoom links. Can we post a direct link to this? Can you make this public?
Yeah, I can, of course, but the issue is that I cannot edit this video because my laptop is slow, but I can cut a little bit.
We don't need to edit it. I've got 21 minutes of audio. There's nothing, there were no gaffes we need to edit out, I don't think.
Okay.
If we can make it public, that would, you know, give some people the option to watch on video. And Kate, so Kate is our video editor and coordinates mailing lists and also customer service and various diversity of other things. So please send our love to everybody you're hanging out with.
Sure.
And the little white dog there, and anyone else, all the house plants and so forth. Okay, Kate, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll be back soon. Love. Bye for now.